We are sponsored by the Keepersall Collection of estate-grown wines and by the Keepersall Winery, an East Texas destination on the grounds of Keepersall Estates. When Bill Coates, Kevin Simon, and I finished work on Radio Row at the Super Bowl last Friday, we took a little time in the evening for a New York City treat. We went to the top of the GE building, the tallest of the 19 buildings that comprise Rockefeller Center, to take in the best view in New York. On the way to the elevator is a famous photograph taken by Charles Ebbets of the New York Herald Tribune. It shows 11 construction workers sitting on a steel beam high above Manhattan having their lunch, a photo that was made while Rockefeller Center was under construction. In case you don't recall the photo, and I'm sure you've seen it, but in case you don't recall it, it shows the men sitting on a naked steel beam 60-plus stories in the air. They're sitting there casually talking and smoking and having lunch without an apparent care in the world that there's nothing holding them to the beam and nothing to catch them if they fall. The photo shows what was, for these men, a day at the office. Any chance that photograph could be made today? I asked rhetorically as we passed it. How many federal agencies would descend upon the general contractor if someone on the job site so much as tweeted that photograph today? I asked. As I got good and wound up, I began a filibuster to the effect that those men, now long gone, are emblematic of the men and women to whom we owe a debt of gratitude for the big, brawny, prosperous nation that we spend our lives taking for granted. I remarked that these are the kind of people that built the America that saved the world between 1941 and 1945, and then went on to put men on the moon. Keep the image of those workers in your mind as you ponder projections released this week from the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office saying that Obamacare will result in a net loss of 2.5 million full-time workers by 2017. The CBO explains that given the structure of the subsidies in the Affordable Care Act, as many as 2.5 million workers will weigh up the benefits of working full-time versus the benefits of deliberately minimizing income so as to maximize what they receive in health insurance subsidies and wind up coming down in favor of the latter. And then ponder that that's a good thing, according to the White House, the New York Times, and other liberals. Liberated from the need to hold a job in order to have health insurance, says the White House, more Americans will be free to live a life of semi-permanent sabbatical, working only at what they choose, when they choose. Perhaps the men sitting on that girder would have preferred to have had their lunch inside a deli at street level rather than sitting exposed hundreds of feet in the air. Given the choice between eating the lunch that they paid for with wages earned doing hard, dangerous work, or eating a lunch given to them in return for no labor whatsoever, they might have chosen the latter. But had they so chosen, we wouldn't have Rockefeller Center. And those men would not be admired by visiting tourists 80-plus years later. Work is more than simply a means to acquire money for food, shelter, clothing, transportation, and health care. Work, even if it's not the most desirable work, is nevertheless ennobling. Without work, one cannot have a true sense of self-worth. Menial, low-paying work done well today paves the way for more rewarding, better-paying work tomorrow. As a clergyman whom I admired greatly once explained, in order for a person to be healthy of body and spirit, he or she needs someone to love, something to hope for, and something to do. For able-bodied adults, that something to do is called work. The White House and liberal media spin of the CBO's projection is appalling. Any public policy that serves to make idleness more profitable than work is bad for the republic. And anyone with a lick of common sense knows it. That's my word. What's yours? Go to youtellmetexas.com and you tell me. And follow me on Twitter at Paul Gleiser. Winemaking is a 12-month enterprise. Right now, even though it may not look like it, the vines at Keepersall Estates are hard at work, preparing themselves to again produce fruit in just a few weeks. Winemakers thus produce surroundings for themselves that are suitable all year round, which is exactly what they've done at the Keepersall Winery. At this time of year, the best description for the tasting room at Keepersall is cozy. It's a delightful setting in which you can relax, sip your favorite wine, or pick out a favorite by trying wines from the Keepersall collection. And on that that note, if you haven't yet taken my advice and tried Keepersall's incomparable 2009 Cabernet, it's time you did. Yes, I know. I bring this wine up a lot, but I do so for a reason. It's not only one of the best cabs Keepersall has ever made, it's one of the best cabs anyone has ever made. The Keepersall Winery is at Keepersall Estates. You take Broadway South to FM 344, go left under the bridge for a mile and a half, left at the entrance gate, and follow the signs. Learn more at KIEPERSOL.com, Keepersall.com.